part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
And welcome to another Reg Eye and Rota podcast powered by MGM Northfield Park right here on the Press Play Podcast Network. A shout out to our fantastic producer. This man makes sure all of you out there in the podcastosphere are able to get the R&R podcast. He would be Ty Courts. Ty, thanks so much for what you do. And Michael Reg Eye, as we tape this on a Sunday night, the NBA's regular season officially came to an end earlier this afternoon, and your Cleveland Cavaliers lose a 120-110 game at home to the Charlotte Hornets to finish the year at, 48-34, and as the number four seed in the Eastern Conference, which means they'll take on the five seed, the Orlando Magic. We'll get to that matchup here in a second, but Reg, just your thoughts on today's game and the regular season for that matter.
Didn't like anything about the approach today, Kenny. Nothing about it. And we'll get into that as we go along here. 48-34, you know, a solid, strong season. But to me, going 8-13, Ken, 8-13 in their last 21 games, you know. So at one point they were sitting at what? They were sitting at 40-27. And then wind up going 8-13 in the last 21. I don't know. Call me an old cranky school type of guy, but that's no way to me to get yourself ready to play in the playoffs. We saw what happened a year ago. So I guess evidently that no big deal to them. No big deal. They're going to just now we'll roll the ball out and be ready to go. I'm telling you, I didn't like what they did today, and I think it might be a recipe for disaster, again, given that they weren't playing that well anyway.
The way I looked at it, Reg, was this. I think in their minds, they had an opponent they wanted to play in the first round. We've talked on this podcast before that if I'm the Cavaliers, I don't want to see the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't want to see the Miami Heat. I don't want to see the New York Knicks. I think in their minds, they wanted to play either the Indiana Pacers or the Orlando Magic. And by being the four seed, and as the day progressed, I guess, they knew they were going to get home court advantage before the day even started. They had at least the four seed. They could be the three, they could be the two, depending on what happened today. Well, I think personally, they wanted nothing to do with the two seed, knowing who they could match up with. So I think they sat, Garland and Donovan Mitchell and Dean Wade again.
Caris LeVert.
Caris LeVert, fourth one, to rest them, to protect them, but also to say, you know what, if we lose this game, wink, wink, it's not that big of a deal. We like where we're at. So I think it was a purpose. There was a purpose in mind today for the Cavaliers, and that was to match up with the Orlando Magic, wherever that would be in the first round of the playoffs as the games unfolded today.
They better damn well get out of the first round, because if they don't, they are going to be under a lot of heavy scrutiny. I took a lot of looked around the entire NBA today, Kenny, and there were many, many, you know, obviously connected with other teams that feel like that's exactly what the Cavaliers did today. Try to trigger the position they wanted to be in and who they're going to play. That's great. You better damn well win this first round. Because if you don't, then, well, first of all, I'm sure my Bickerstaff will be gone. Yeah. And there are going to be a lot of these players that are going to be gone too. Because again, 8-13 in the last 21 now, Ken. Yeah. So to me, I want to try to find a way to go into the playoffs the best that I can. I don't think there would have been anything at all wrong. Now, I'm not talking about 35 minutes, but 17 to 20, 21 minutes for Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, and Caris LeVert today? Come on now, man. You can't sit all three of them and put yourself again. Well, you can. You did. And I think you know. Okay, so you got what you wanted. Let's see if you're successful. Kenny, I don't think it's going to matter anyway. I don't see him winning more than a round. And we'll get into that as we go along. But I just didn't like anything about it today, Ken. I did not like anything about it. And I did not think, given what happened last year, they'd look to try to do that same thing again this year. And damn if they didn't. Same thing.
They're not the only team that did that, though, today, Michael. I would bet you, and I haven't looked at
all the box scores. New York Knicks didn't do that.
Okay.
I watched that whole game.
Okay.
The Knicks wanted to, and they played everybody, played them their normal minutes. It was a tough game because Chicago was putting their playoff team.
Right.
But that's what the Knicks decided to do, and they got out of it with the win, with playing their main guys normal minutes and wind up with a 2 seed.
Now, I saw Boston didn't play their guys. Dallas didn't play their guys. So there's a case to be made for both sides of it, right? If you like the matchup or you think you know the matchup, then why risk another injury to Donovan Mitchell, another injury to Darius Garland? Supposedly, Caris LeVert has been nursing something that they haven't really talked about too much. Dean Wade, we know, has had the sore knee. So in their eyes, much like and this goes back to the Browns, right, Reg? You know, not playing guys in the finale against Cincinnati last year, right?
That's right, yes.
You know, you look back on that and you go, well, they got their asses whooped by Houston. Maybe they should have played. So I get your point. I understand where you're coming from, especially considering a 4-1 loss last year in the playoffs. But I really believe they wanted nothing with the number 2 seed, Michael. They wanted no chance of getting the number 2 seed because that means you were going to play either Philadelphia or Miami, and that's a first-round playoff loss, in my opinion, for the Cavaliers.
So they're afraid. They're afraid of Philly and Miami, huh?
They won't admit that, but yes, they are.
Interesting. Well, interesting. Then to me, with that kind of mindset, you aren't going very far anyway.
But isn't a first round victory in a series a step further for the third consecutive year? Isn't that showing progress? If you're J.B. Bickerstaff and Kobe Altman, isn't that the goal to continue to climb in the right direction as opposed to, as you pointed out and astutely, if they lose this first round series, JB's probably gone, and we're looking at a trade of Garland, Mitchell, Allen, or Mobley, or a couple of those guys.
Well, yeah, and rightfully so, because that means you just went through another 82-game season and the first round of the playoffs if what you just occurs, and you accomplish nothing. You accomplish nothing. And so, I mean, they put themselves on the line now. So, again, it's obvious. You and I have been around this way too long. They'll deny it.
Yep.
But we know what they did today. We know exactly what they did today. They didn't want any part of those matchups that would have potentially come with a win in the 2 seed. They can tell me all they want. I'm sorry. You'll never convince me. So they better damn well win. Because if they don't, this is what you wanted. You want Orlando in that first round, okay? Well, we've seen the last couple games against Orlando, right? I don't know where they're getting off thinking after going this. Again, Kenny, 21 games now, man. That's a better part of a month and a half, right?
Yep.
They're 8-13 the last 21. They've been playing a very mediocre to poor basketball. So now against an Orlando team that has got a hell of a lot of weapons, they have trouble with Pablo Banchero and Franz Wagner anyway. Wouldn't you agree? They have trouble with those two matchups are trouble for them. So let's see. Let's see what they come up with in terms of how they're going to defend those two guys in particular, because they haven't done a real good job at it in their last few meetings.
Season series this year with the Orlando Magic and the Cavaliers, 2 wins for each team. Cavaliers won the first game, 121-111. They lost the second game, 104-94. They win the third matchup, a blowout win for them, 126-99. They lose the last matchup, 116-109. Now, I haven't done a deep dive yet into who was in, who was out as far as the lineups go for all of those games yet, Reg. All right. So I need to check that. But, you know, supposedly for this playoff series, and maybe one of the benefits of resting who they rested today is you will have your starting lineup that you want in there for game one of the NBA playoffs, which is Garland at the point, Mitchell as your shooting guard, Strus is the three, Mobley is the four, and Jared Allen is the five. My question to you is, we know the starters, if healthy, how many players off of that bench do you feel comfortable with, Michael Redguy, for JB Bickerstaff to play in this first round series against the Orlando Magic?
One, Caris LeVert.
He's the only one you have any confidence in?
Kenny, have you looked at what, in fact, I was going to bring up two. I know he hit a couple of threes today. Look at Max Strus's last five, six games coming down the stretch. I think, you want LeVert to be that sixth man. He averages 14 points a game and five assists. Of course, you want that off your bench. Kenny, I got to tell you, though, if Strus comes out in the first game and does another 2-for-10 or 3-for-13 as he's been doing over the course of the last five, you know what? I'm putting LeVert in the starting lineup instead of Strus because I don't trust Strus in his up and down play. I don't.
I'm that way with LeVert. He is too inconsistent. He's more consistent than Strus, but still too inconsistent for me to say I believe 100% in him that he will deliver if he plays seven games of 35 minutes.
Do you believe 100% in Evan Mobley?
No, I don't.
You believe 100% in Darius Garland?
No, I don't.
Well, there you go. And I mean, Donovan Mitchell's been hurt. So, right. Look, we could even – as Donovan Mitchell goes, this is going to kind of go.
Right.
If he's not playing at peak proficiency – and you hate to say it, but giving them 30 in each and every playoff game, I'm not sure it's going to matter, Ken. And that's sad. I hate to say that, but I'm not sure it's going to matter. So, no, he's really the only one that consistently you could hang your hat on, in my opinion. Anybody else we just mentioned,
right.
Yeah, they have good performances, but then there are times when they're not, they're just not giving you what you need. We agree on that?
100%, Reg. So and I went into
last
year.
How does a team like that win then?
Yeah, well, you hope that they all play consistent for four out of at least the seven games, right? You need four to win the series because it's a best of seven. So you hope that, they're going to have a couple of off nights, but you hope that they have at least four good nights where Mitchell plays good for all seven. And then the other guys that we all mentioned, right? You get, three or four good games out of the rest of those guys.
Well, yeah. Right? You're going to have it. I mean, that's the bottom line. And, Jared Allen has played probably, as consistently as you're going to get from him. You got to like what he does. He plays both ends of the floor, right?
Right, right.
And, Kenny, and that's another thing, too. I mean, I know you're not, but please – Caris LeVert is a far better, it's not even in the same stratosphere, defensive player than either Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland.
Yes.
Far
100%.
Better.
Yes, 100%.
So then you got to have him on the floor then.
I think you will have him on the floor in the fourth quarter in those situations. Or at least I hope JB will defensively.
I hope so.
Okay.
Because nobody else is it. Garland isn't it, Mitchell isn't it, Strus isn't it. LeVert gets up on guys and busts his butt defending. The others don't. There are nights I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure if Darius Garland knows how to spell the word because he looks absolutely just uninvolved or disinterested might be a better word.
How about that?
Well,
we're
maybe.
Afraid of getting hurt. Know what I mean?
I don't know. But, to me – he's got to give you 25 every night because he ain't going to do much for you on the defensive end of the floor. And I saw some and heard he got mad the other night because he hadn't played in that tight game. Who was that they beat the other night? In the Indiana.
Okay.
And he wasn't playing to start the fourth quarter. Well, you know what? Until you defend somebody, young fella, I don't give a damn what you're doing. Show me that you care on the defensive end. And Kenny, he does not to suit my satisfaction a lot of nights.
And I'm okay with that as well. I agree with you. He too nonchalant with the basketball, turns it over far too much in crunch time, right?
Yes.
Isn't physical enough. So yeah, I'm fine. And hopefully you will see, at least if not for both ways, at least the offense for defensive switch with Caris LeVert in those timeout late game situations.
Well, he's been doing it. He has been doing it over the course of the last that, if you noticed, you know, when games come, LeVert usually comes in with about 5-6 minutes left in the third quarter, then comes out at about, you know, 7-8 minutes left in the fourth. But usually he's down for about 3 minutes and gets him back in. And I would keep doing that because, Kenny, we know this. We could do volumes on this. The defensive end of the floor is going to become far, far more key and noteworthy right now. Yeah. Starting this week, you're gonna have to defend and get stops now.
Reg, I was just doing some numbers here, right? And you know, they made a big deal about Max Strus, that this is the time of the year where he will pay the dividends, right? In the playoffs, based on what he, and I just want to warn our Cavalier fans out there, right? For all the good games he had with the Miami Heat last year in their postseason run all the way to the NBA Finals, he had some awful games for the Miami Heat all the way to the NBA Finals. So that's why I say, you know, that he, when they signed him, was it an upgrade over Isaac Okoro? Yes, it was. How much of an upgrade, that is debatable. He's a better offensive player than Isaac Okoro.
Sometimes.
You know?
Sometimes.
Well, he averaged 12.2 this year, okay? Which I don't know how much they were expecting from him. Okoro averaged 9.4. Okoro is in the perfect role for me, and that's the seventh or eighth guy coming off the bench, late game defensive replacement.
I'm with you on that. Okay? I'm with you on that. I'm just the point we're speaking of right now, as games come into crunch time in fourth quarter of a playoff game, I don't trust Strus. I don't trust him a lick.
What about Georgie Niang? Do you have some faith in him coming off the bench for them?
A little bit. Or is he
another hit or miss guy, just like Strus, where it's too inconsistent for you?
A little bit more consistent than Strus, but I think you're still wanting more consistency from him. I mean, because again, right now, but he's probably going to play eight, right? And that's going to mean he's going to play LeVert. He's going to play Niang. That's seven right now. We're assuming that Strus continues to start. So who's that eighth that you
Okoro.
Can count on?
Okoro's the one that he's going to play.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. You know, I'm fine with Isaac. I mean, you know, it's probably at playoff time. He's not going to be a compelling force offensively. But then again, you know, I mean, you got to live with that if he, as we said, because we're talking about the defensive end of the floor, and that, you know, he'll do the damnedest to help the basketball team in, and usually does a very good job at it.
Reg, I'm looking at Marcus Morris and Tristan Thompson, two veteran players, physical players.
Yeah.
Do you think JB, if again they come out soft as marshmallows, will turn to one of those two guys and say, "Hey, remember that Hornets game, Marcus? What you did for us? Go in there and rough somebody up. If they come down the lane, let them know it's Bloody Nose Lane." And send a message and maybe wake up some of our guys. Because I think that's why they went and got Niang and Morris for the playoffs to be a little bit more physical and be that pain in the ass player that opposing teams hate.
Without question, Ken. And he may have to lean on those two guys. He may have to do that because You know, as we've talked about ad infinitum, you know, unfortunately, you're not going to get that from Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, your two bigs. I mean, once in a while, Allen will, you know, I guess surprise us a little bit and get as physical as possible. But, you know, we both know, and we both really think the world of Jared Allen. He's done a hell of a job, but yeah, that's not his forte, being a physical guy. That's not what he is. So, again, Kenny, you know it's going to come down to it. And there are going to be a couple of different teams that if they happen to see him. Now, I don't think against Orlando it's going to be that big of an issue, quite honestly. Okay. But after Orlando, anybody that they play, it will be. That's why, Kenny, they've got to win this first round series. They've got to, Ken. They've got home floor.
Right.
Again, they've got, you know, to me, they've got the more accomplished roster. You know, I take the Cavaliers roster, if you look at it player for player.
Right over... now, yes. In the future, maybe not.
Oh,
but
maybe
right
no,
now
no.
In this series, I'm
absolutely
with you.
Couldn't agree with you more. Maybe as soon as next year. But right now, Ken, they don't have, I mean, and again, now we throw in the fact that we think they got exactly what they wanted. They can say they wanted Orlando in the first round. Well, there's got to be a reason for that, and you got to go win. Because, Kenny, if they don't win this Orlando series, can you imagine two straight years of first-round flameouts after being a top four seed both years, right?
Right, yep.
Yeah, so with home floor.
I'm looking at Orlando's, you know, depth chart right now, Reg, right? Jalen Suggs, I don't think he's been to the playoffs before. Paolo Banchero, no playoffs, right? Wendell Carter Jr., not sure. Franz Wagner.
Yeah, maybe with Chicago for Carter.
Maybe?
Remember
okay.
this year?
Right.
Maybe, but I'm not 100% on
How
that.
How about Gary Harris? I'm not sure about Gary Harris. Do you know, has he been? So,
yeah, Gary Harris went with Milwaukee, didn't he?
That's why I'm wondering, but how much did he play, right?
Not much. Not much. These guys weren't impact guys.
Right.
Those teams. The impact guys are right. The Monchero and then the two Wagners, I guess, with Cody White, right? The guard.
And Suggs, right? Those are the guys they count
Suggs.
On.
Yeah, there you go.
Markel Fultz comes off the bench for them. Joe Inglis comes off the bench. He can shoot it. He won't be afraid of the situation. He's been around the league and on some playoff teams. But you have to hope. What happened to the Cavaliers last year when, after the series was over, Jared Allen said, and I paraphrase here, the spotlight was too bright for us or the moment was too big for us. You have to hope that's the case for a Jalen Suggs and an Paolo Banchero, that it will be too big for them and allow the Cavaliers to advance to the second round.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope that becomes a factor because it would be helpful for the Cavaliers to be sure. And again, you got everything you have to win. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
I mean, they got to win this first round series. And after that, I'll be honest with you. I just don't like anything about their fortunes or opportunities. Hope I'm wrong. But if they win the first round, I don't like a whole lot of anything that any other matchup would be when it goes from eight teams down to four teams in the East.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I guess whether this is the right way to think about it or not, I'll take a first round playoff series win for the first time for the Cavaliers without a LeBron James on the roster since 1998, right?
That's correct.
In fact, I'm expecting a first-round playoff series win over the Magic by the Cavaliers. Yeah. And going back to how we started this conversation, I'm with you. If that doesn't happen, whether it's four games, five games, six games, or seven games, if they lose in whatever, J.B. Bickerstaff gone, and then you start thinking about you know, shaking this team up and trying to figure out how you have to go about making this team a better team via trades.
You would have to. I mean, you would just flat out have to because, right, that would be twice in a row and two consecutive years after close to 50 win seasons, right? And it's just, untenable, Kenny, to keep it going in that direction with the same group coming back.
No question about it. So the Cavaliers and the Magic on a collision course, 4 versus 5 in the first round of the NBA playoffs. And if you unfortunately end up in a car collision with somebody, your fault or not, and your car gets damaged, well, guess what? We here at the R&R Podcast want to tell you about someone you need to check out, because they will take care of your vehicle, make it look brand spanking new. We're talking about Newark Auto Body and Zanesville Auto Body. Safe, reliable collision repairs are their business. They're a local family-run and veteran-owned business serving Newark, Zanesville, and surrounding areas, and they work with all insurance providers to make your experience hassle-free. Plus, ask about their special discounts for U.S. military veterans. Visit them today at autobodyofnewark.com or autobodyofzanesville.com. And to get your repair started or to get more information, you can also call them at 740-899-4111. We'll get a break in right now. When we come back, we'll take a look at the rest of the Eastern Conference playoff matchups, as well as the Western Conference playoff matchups, when the R&R Podcast continues here on the Press Play Podcast Network, powered by MGM Northfield Park.
What's up, everyone? I'm Holly Wetzel.
And I'm Tyrus Powell.
And we are your hosts of The Orange is Oranger, a Cleveland Browns podcast on the Press Play Podcast Network. We give you all the .com coverage that you'll need to get you through the regular season, hopeful postseason, and I'd say off-season, Tyrus, but is there really ever an off-season for this team?
Thankfully for our podcast, Holly, there really never is when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. Don't miss our breakdown of each week's matchup, game recaps, and any and all news out of Berea to feed your Browns appetite. As we know, Holly, dogs gotta eat.
Yes, they do. So hit that subscribe button and never miss an episode of the Orange is Oranger, Cleveland Browns podcast on the Press Play Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, it's Sam Amico from Cavs on the Break NBA podcast. Be sure to give us a listen for all your Cleveland Cavaliers recaps, analysis, breakdowns, draft talk, free agency. The list goes on and on. Give us a listen, Cavs on the Break NBA podcast.
Hey guys, the Roadman Kenny Rota here from the Reg Eye and Rota podcast, and I'm here to help as always, right? Always looking out for you. And what's one of the topics you never want to talk about, but you need answers to? Manscaping, right? I don't care how old you are. You want to make everything below the belt trimmed nice and neat. So here's your answer. It's the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra from Manscaped. It features a new cutting-edge design and next-generational dual-skin safe blade heads for different shaves. It's pretty much a spaceship to take your boys downstairs to the moon and back. Hi! Holy cow! Join the 9 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the brand-new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. And how about this deal for you? You get 20% off plus free shipping if you go to the website manscaped.com and enter the code RANDRP3. That's RANDRP3. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code RANDRP3 at manscaped.com. There's no better way to take care of your boys then Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. And tell them Reg Eye and Rota sent you, and go to manscaped.com now.
Woo. Looking for new insights on the Cleveland sports scene with a unique side of Cleveland sports history? Then you found the perfect podcast. I'm John Sable.
And I'm Scott Sable, and we're hosts of the Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast, a podcast about Cleveland sports, but not your typical podcast about the land's sports teams. Join us as we embark on a journey of sharing a unique and historical side of Cleveland sports history with the help of some former Cleveland sports stars and other historical figures.
All right here on the Sable Brothers on the Baseline podcast, part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
I figured I'd work it in that way, and then you can just play the manscaping one in the middle, all right? Well, that's out of the way. That's out of the way. All right, Reg, we'll come back and we'll give the schedule of, you know, the matchups and the play-in, and then the potential Eastern Conference, Western Conference, just get some thoughts on some of the matchups and some of the teams. Sure. All right.
Yeah, buddy. Sure.
Here we go. Coming down in 3, 2, 1. And we continue with the Reg Eye and Rota podcast powered by MGM Northfield Park right here on the Press Play Podcast Network. And Michael Reg Eye, we know the Cavs are the 4 seed, the Magic the 5 seed. That's their first round matchup. They will play game 1 Saturday in Cleveland. We don't know what time they're going to tip that one off as we are taping this podcast. So check the internet and you'll find out when the Cavs are hosting the Magic in game 1, Reg. But before we get to the matchups we know for sure in the playoffs, let's talk about the play-in tournament, Reg. On Tuesday, the Lakers and New Orleans will play the first game, and then Golden State and Sacramento will play the second game. Out of those 4 teams that are in the play-in tournament, Michael, who do you expect to come out as the 7 and 8 seeds out of the West?
The old tried and true Time Lord future champ or recent champions, Kenny, the Golden State Warriors.
Okay, so they're going to be
playing
one
terrific
team
right now, and they don't give a damn. You know this. They don't give a damn about LeBron and Anthony Davis and the Lakers. They believe they're better. They beat them, and I think they'll beat them if it comes down to that.
Well, the first game is Lakers-New Orleans. The winner of that game will become the 7 seed. So head-to-head, do you like the Lakers or the Pelicans in that first game?
Lakers.
I do, too. So I'm with you. I think the Lakers will be the 7 seed. That means New Orleans then gets to play one more game against the winner of Golden State-Sacramento, and I think we're in agreement here with the experience, right? We expect Steph and Golden State to find a way to beat Sacramento and New Orleans and be the 8th seed, correct?
Yes, I do. Yep, with you. We're both ways there.
Yeah, I see it that way as well. We'll see if any of these young teams, New Orleans, Sacramento, can pull off the upset. But I think LeBron, Anthony Davis will find a way to win that first game. And then Steph and Clay and Draymond with his antics and Andrew Wiggins, Steve Kerr will find a way to win that, second spot. All right, let's go to the Eastern Conference play-in games. These will happen Wednesday night, April 17th. Miami at Philadelphia is the first game. The winner becomes the 7 seed. The loser advances to play the winner of Atlanta-Chicago. Reg, to me, this is a no-brainer. I expect Philly to win the first game, and then I expect Miami to beat either Atlanta or Chicago to be the 2nd team. I think Philly and Miami end up as the 7 and 8 seeds in the East. What about you?
100% with you. Don't need to waste any more time on it. 100% with you. Yes. Yes. Philly and Miami. Yes.
All right. So here's the way the Eastern Conference then would look if our predictions are correct. The number 1 seed overall, best record in the NBA, home court advantage as long as they play, right? The Boston Celtics would play the 8th seed, and the way we saw it, that would be Miami in the first round. Boston and Miami potentially in the first round. The number 2 seed, the Knicks leapfrogged the Cavaliers, Milwaukee, in these last 2 weeks to become the number 2 seed. They'll take on Joel Embiid and Philadelphia if it goes the way we think it will. Okay, 2 versus 7. Milwaukee falls to the 3 seed. I think they like that. Because they're going to take on Indiana, the 6th seed, and then the Cavaliers and Orlando, the 4 and 5 matchups, Reg.
Yep. Yeah, well, and again, I mean, I know what Miami's capable of in the playoffs. Kenny, they've proven it to us, but Boston is a far superior basketball team. I see Boston taking down Miami. The Knicks-Sixers series, the way we're projecting, might be an absolute war slugfest.
Yeah.
Could go 7 games. I like the Knicks, though, to win that. Indiana's going to beat Milwaukee. Watch.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Indiana's going to take out Milwaukee, whether Giannis is there or not. And then, with fingers crossed, the Cavaliers beating Orlando.
Yeah, I like Boston because revenge is a powerful motivation, right, with Miami, okay? And in that, I like Philly as a threat to Boston, Reg, if Joel is right. If Joel is right and he's able to play all 7 games, and I love Tyrese Maxey's game as well.
Yeah.
I like Philadelphia over the Knicks in that second matchup. I don't know about Indiana-Milwaukee. It is, I mean – If Giannis cannot go, then I'm with you. I'm leaning towards Indiana, even though they're the sixth seed and they would be on the road for a potential game seven, right?
Right, yeah.
If Giannis is able to go, even if not at 100%, I like Milwaukee in that series. And I'm taking the Cavs. Let's get to this one. I'm taking the Cavs in Orlando, but I don't think it's going to be as quick as maybe some people think it might be. I see it going at least six games, Reg, if not seven, because Paolo Banchero, he dropped 42 on him earlier this year, right? They've got to try and stop him, the Wagner boys. So I think the Cavaliers will find a way to win that series. I'll say in six games, the Cavaliers find a way to beat the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Six, and if it did go seven, wouldn't surprise me in the least, Ken.
Okay.
But let's hope the Cavaliers find a way to emerge from that series victorious.
What will be the key, Reg, in beating them for you? If they are to win it in four, five, six, or seven, what will be the keys for the Cavaliers?
Don't let themselves get punked physically. And Orlando is not what you, other than Banchero, Mo Wagner flexes his muscle a little bit, but they aren't what you'd call an extremely physical team. But, you know, the Cavaliers' approach has got to be way different than it was a year ago in that first round against the Knicks, Ken, because, you know, we've talked about it ad nauseum, but they just got physically got their butts kicked by the Knicks.
Yep.
They cannot let that happen again to this Orlando team. Whatever it takes, they got to find a way.
And the big question mark there will be the health of Donovan Mitchell. How bad is that knee? Will it hinder him enough where he has to miss a game? Or is he going to just have to play through the pain? We heard Kobe Bryant always say, hey, it's the playoffs. You know, unless I tear my Achilles, which he did, right? I'm going to be out there. So I expect him to try and play through it. He's looked better in the most recent games he's played. He's looked like he had more spring in his step. So that's a good sign. But yeah, I like the Cavaliers to find a way to finally win that first playoff series. I believe since I said earlier, it's either 98 or 93. I forget how long it's been since they won a playoff series without LeBron James. It's either 1998 or 1993.
98. Is 98. It? Okay. Sean Kemp of the boys. I was
there
calling it, Ken.
All right. The
Indiana Pacers in the first round.
So there you go. All right, out west, Reg. OKC ends up as the one. How about the Denver Nuggets losing the number one overall seed because they lost a game on the road to the worst team in the West, the San Antonio Spurs?
Wild.
And they end up as the two seed, which we know playing in that altitude, Reg, that's a huge home court advantage for Denver. Now, if they have to play OKC in a seven-game series, they've lost the home court advantage. But do you see Denver as still the team to beat out West, or do you like somebody else?
I do, 100%. I'm a big Michael Malone guy, and,
right,
you know, they've been there and know what it takes. And, yes, they didn't close out being the number one seed. But, Kenny, I still like them to get out of the West and, again, represent their conference in the NBA Finals.
How about this? We could have a Denver LeBron AD Lakers matchup.
That'd be fun.
In the first round, 2 versus 7. Should LA beat New Orleans in that first play-in game, then the Lakers would go to Denver, and then OKC will play the winner then of either New Orleans, should they lose, Sacramento, Golden State. So we could see OKC, Golden State, 1 versus 8, Denver versus the Lakers, 2 versus 7. It's Minnesota 3 versus Phoenix 6, Reg.
Mm.
What about that series those two, the young upstart team and then the KD-led veteran team?
Yeah, that I think that's going to be a long series, Kenny. I'm going to go with Minnesota, although they have not been playing their best basketball the last couple of weeks. Karl Anthony Towns came back, Ken, and although he missed a lot of time, yes, but he's back now, so he's got a couple games under his belt, and I think that makes them a little bit more complete, having Towns with Rudy Gobert and young Mr. Edwards on that little guy, three guys that know how to put the ball in the hole.
I'm going to, not because I truly believe in them, Reg, okay?
Yeah.
They played better as of late, Phoenix. I picked them to match up with Denver in the Western Conference Finals before the season started.
Okay.
So I'm going to take KD, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and that group to find a way to beat a young, inexperienced Minnesota team in the playoffs in advance as the sixth seed. What about 4 versus 5, the Clippers? And I don't know if you've caught any of the Dallas Mavericks games as of late, but Kyrie and Luka have been balling big time, and both are healthy going into these playoffs, Reg. And Kawhi Leonard, we don't know what the deal is with his knee.
You're right. And can Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, the two of them, carry a team to a playoff series win? Yep. Yep, they can. So it wouldn't surprise me in the least if they do here. And as you said, you know, the thing that's going on with Kawhi Leonard right now, nobody knows what his capability of performance is going to be. So I'm still going to take the Clippers here.
Okay.
But wouldn't surprise me in the least if Dallas came away with the series win.
I'm going to go Dallas because of that knee. Because I don't think he'll be able to play all 7 games. And I don't have any inside information, Reg. I mean, unfortunately, that's his MO, right? He tries to play, comes back, gives you a game, then he doesn't play for 3 games, and the series could be over. So I'm going to take Dallas in that series. And what about OKC if they match up with the Lakers in the first round, Reg?
Wow.
I know, right?
That's interesting here, a team but again, you ask about, does the experience factor then come into play?
Right.
Like we've said about a couple of series. Obviously, OKC is a young, talented, offensively gifted team, but the playoffs are a little bit different. And when you play a team that has the world of experience that LeBron James and Anthony Davis do, then how big of a factor does that become? I would slightly favor the Lakers there.
So would I. I'm leaning that way as well. I love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and his game. Chet Holmgren. Boy, you talk about a bright future. You know, if you're an OKC fan, you know, buy some sunglasses because the future is going to be extremely bright. It's going to be like a solar eclipse. You're going to need those shades. So go out and get them now. But this year, a healthy AD, a healthy LeBron, right? How many more times can LeBron do this? I think he's looking and maybe realizing that, all right, this might be my last chance to make a serious run, Reg, at a championship. And so I that series could go 6 or 7, and I could see the Lakers pulling it out because of their experience over OKC. But the West is a gauntlet, man. I mean,
it is. Yeah.
There's not an easy series there in any of those matchups. Regardless of who wins the play-in tournament game.
Well, right. If you come out of the West, you're going to have earned it. I mean, I don't think there's any other way to say it. I don't know if you have anything left then for the finals, but you'll have earned it. No question about that.
All right, Reg. I picked Denver and Boston to match up in the finals before I did a futures bet. And I went Nuggets and Celtics meeting in the NBA finals. And looking at the matchup, it scares me a little bit, okay? We said the Lakers, if they played OKC, we would take the Lakers. What if the Lakers played Denver? Could the Lakers upend the Denver Nuggets in the first round with the AD's length and athleticism on Jokic? Who do they have to match up with LeBron in Denver? Is that, Michael Porter Jr.? Is that Gordon? I don't know, because that more than likely is going to be the matchup we get, because we both think the Lakers are going to beat New Orleans and get the 7 seed.
Yeah, and both Porter will, as far as you're saying about being the one to try to check LeBron. I like Denver there, Kenny.
Okay,
if it comes down to that, so. I'm going to go with, once again, I know it's not a chalk, but I don't just do that. I mean, I like a Boston-Denver final again in this year. And I don't know. I guess we got to kind of see. Boston would be my take right now. We got a month, though, right? The NBA playoffs sometimes last 5 weeks. So we got a month. A lot of things can happen. These teams might have to play another 20 basketball games, right, to get there.
Yeah.
But right now, I'll take Denver-Boston with the Boston Celtics winning it.
All right, Reg. I've got another one of those futures bets. Okay. Here was my thinking before the season started. The Bruins screwed up last year. They were the number one team in the NHL, and they got beat, right?
Yes.
The Celtics. A lot of people thought the Celtics were going to go last year and win the – and they got beat by Miami.
Right.
So revenge on both of their minds, kind of like Virginia, kind of like South Carolina in women's basketball. Hey, you lost, last year, you bounce back the following year, win it. So I've got Boston and Boston. I've got the Celtics and the Bruins in a parlay to win both the NBA and the NHL finals.
And I
said I would never bet on a Boston team after they both let me down last year. Well, you know, throw a few bucks on them with some great odds and that'll change your minds quickly. I think Denver is still the best team.
Mm-hmm.
I love watching Denver play. So I hedged my bet by picking them by themselves as the NBA champion. I think it's Denver and Boston, and then one of those two is going to win. Here's what I will say, Reg. Chalk is hot right now, right? Chalk in the March Madness brackets, men and women. UConn, best team, they won. South Carolina for the women, even though Caitlin Clark, best player, South Carolina, best team, they won. Scottie Scheffler today, I watched the Masters. He annihilated the field on the back nine at Augusta today. Number one player in the world, chalk won there. So if I'm going chalk, to me, if you say the best record is the chalk team this year, well, that's Boston at 64-18.
Yes. Yeah. They've proven it for the entire season.
Yeah.
They've really impressed me, Kenny. They really haven't taken whether it's their team philosophy or a team style of play or whether it's individual players. These guys go out and play every night, and I still think there's something to that in this NBA. And I like the Celtics to, as you said, kind of add a little bit of revenge to what happened to them last year and get it done this time around.
Here's my only concern with Boston, Reg. I've seen them blow big leads this year, right?
Yep.
I wonder, because they kind of, they're better than, don't get me wrong, they're better than the Cavaliers. They're not real physical, though, Reg. That worries me, right? And mentally, for me anyways, mentally, I don't know if, they have what it takes between the years, the mental toughness along with the physical toughness. That's what scares me, along with Joe Mazzulla, the head coach. I don't know, in a matchup with Michael Malone, is Mazzulla going to be able to out X and O, out-coach, out-prepare, Malone. So that's my concern with the Celtics. So for me, like I said, I'm hedging, my bets, taking, Denver straight up to win it. And then I've got, Boston, like I said, in that parlay with the Bruins. So that's my biggest concern is the mental toughness, the physical toughness of Boston, even though they've added Porzingis this year. And, they've also added Drew Holiday. He brings a little bit of toughness to that backcourt and is a better player than Marcus Smart. So they look like it on paper. But the other thing with them besides that is, will they be able to realize that if they're off shooting from three-point range, they need to go to the basket, right? Can they figure it out that this is an off night from beyond the arc? We're not going to shoot 53s and miss 45 of them, okay? We need to go to the basket in certain situations, and just because in the regular season all our threes went in means they're going to go in the postseason. That's my concern with the Celtics, Reg.
No, I got you. I understand that. And with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, their game is kind of very dependent on those two.
Yeah,
and shooting the three and shooting it successfully. So I completely understand that. And I think there may be a couple of series tests. I just think that
you know, they'll prove why they were the best. What are they? 64-18.
That's
the
it.
The best
team
in the NBA this year. So we only got to wait a couple more nights, buddy, and we'll start seeing how all this plays out.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. We'll be breaking it down throughout the playoffs, along with some Guardians talk. And next week, Reg, how about we talk a little NFL draft as we get ready for the Browns? And the 54th pick overall in the second round will be their first selection. So we can dive into that next week. How's that?
Yeah, no, love it. I think that'll be great. That and how the playoffs have started. So it'll be a full plate for us next week. Look forward to it.
Sounds good, Reg. And we appreciate all our listeners out there over the years. Your loyalty sticking with us here on the R&R Podcast, powered by MGM Northfield Park on the Press Play Podcast Network. Thanks once again to our producer, Ty Court. But again, most of all, thanks to you for listening to the R&R Podcast.